Shalom Aleichem, welcome everyone. As we prepare for Shabbos Parshas Bamidbar, and of course Kabbalah Satayra. Rav Schwab's first word on this week's Parsha is very appropriate, not only for the Parsha, but for Kabbalah Satayra as well. We have in the beginning of this week's Parsha a listing of the Nesiim, the 12 leaders of the different Shvatim. If you would read the Parsha, you would think that they're being chosen here for the first time. V'itchem yu ish ish lamateh. There should be with you a man to each of the tribes. Now this seems to be something of a difficulty. The Nesiim had already been chosen earlier, a few weeks earlier. This counting took place, as it says in the Pasuk, at the beginning of the second month, Be'echad l'chaydesh ha'sheni b'shana ha'shenis, at the beginning of the month of Iyar. In the month of Nisan, just a few weeks before this, we already had that the Nesiim brought their offerings as part of the first 12 days of Nisan, part of the inauguration of the Mishkan. The names were mentioned earlier. Why not present them with the title of Kovod? Why does the Pasuk say, Be'etchem yu ish ish lamate, ish rosh l'beis avos avu? Choose a man to each shevet, the head of each family. Let it say, Be'etchem yu ha'nesiim. Rav Schwab refers us to the Medrash in the beginning of Bamidbar. The Medrash begins with the following idea. It says, Kol mi she'ena oisa atzmai kemidbar hefker, eini yachol liknais esa chochma v'hatayra. Matach nema b'midbar Sinai. The reference to the desert is to teach us that if you want to have a kinyan hatayra, you want to have a connection to the wisdom of Torah, hatayra v'hachochma, then a person needs losim atzmai to make himself kemidbar hefker, as a midbar which is ownerless. What does that mean? That means to remove the ani of the person, the selfish interest which every person has, his personal needs and desires. The person who sits down to learn quickly has a headache and he's thirsty and he remembers things he has to do, and that pulls him away from his learning. Every single time, every time you sit down to learn, you think of something else you need or some physical comfort that you're lacking. The way for a person to acquire wisdom, to learn properly, is to remove the ani, to remove his own personal needs, move them aside, and put the focus of Torah learning first. Schwab says, that's why it says here regarding the Nesiim that they were ish-ish. What made them great was that they were not Bali Gaiva, they were not people that were haughty because of their position. Removing the ani of the person requires that he should not think of himself as being great because of his accomplishments, and that he should not be a balgaivo, a hoodie person. He knows it's not kalacha, people have to come to him. Rav Schwab says that if a person is then he continues to grow in his learning. And that is the reference to these people as ish-ish. They behaved as ordinary people. They behaved in their bein adam l'chaveray as if there was no ani, no personal negias. That tool, which is a tool in bein adam l'chaveray and bein adam l'lakam, is the tool to tremendous atzlacha in learning. And as shuas comes, it's a necessity. To be able to learn on shuas is very hard. On the one hand, we have so many hours. It makes no sense that over 24 or 48 hours of Shavuos, a person should not be able to put in 12, 13 hours in a base medrash. The fact is, it's not that way. Many people say it doesn't pay to stay up. If you make a calculation, if you sleep well at night, you can learn more by day. I've taken that to heart, and I do stay up all night. However, by day, I'm careful to get up at a decent hour, and I try to be in the base medrash by 2:30 or 3 o'clock. Who's there at 3 o'clock? All the people that slept the previous night? Not one of them. At 3 o'clock, there are usually 3 or 4 people in our base medrash. All people who stayed up the night before. A person has to be misalik to ani. He has to be willing to give up his own self-interest, his own physical needs. To be able to put that aside and learn, that's the half of Limud HaTorah. Especially this year, it's 3 days, Shabbos, 2 days Shavuos. People generally sleep Shabbos afternoon. It should be easy to stay up Shavuos night. For these 3 days, take a Limud. Take something to learn that you don't normally learn. Here we're learning Bava Kama in Torah V'Das. I mentioned to a few boys, take Perek HaChayvel. It's a Perek with about 8 blot. You could conjure it over the 3 days easily. It gives you a goal. If you sit down with a goal, you don't get drowsy as quickly. If you sit down with a goal, you'd like to remember what each daf is about. There are 8 blot. What's each daf about? Any of you just finished Mesechtas Tamim in Daf Yomi, a Mesechta that people got a big geschmack in. Half a Mesechtas Tamim, it's not so big. Try to know what it's about. If you have a goal, and the learning goes easily. If you're doing it just l'shem shemayim to learn, that's still ani. You have to do it for the limud haTorah, for the sake of the learning, and you'll have hatzlacha. Let me turn to a second word on the parasha. We have in the parasha, at the end of Parak Aleph, Achas Mate Levi Leisifkai, that the Levim were counted separately. And Rashi brings up Shad. Why were the Levim counted separately? Safa HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shasid Olami Gezeira Kol Anim Nim Benes Mishan of Anayla Shiyamusu BaMidbar. Because those that were counted would die in the Midbar, Omar, Rabbi Shalom said, Al Yiyu Elu B'chlal. I don't want the Levim to die in the Midbar. Lefi Shehem Shali Shalei Tohu BeEgel. Because they were not part of the sin of the Egel. Many Mepharshim ask that this seems to be incorrect. Shalei Tohu BeEgel. As a result of the ego, there was no decree that Jews came into Eretz Yisrael. It was a result of the Chet HaMeraglim, which had not yet taken place. So why is Rashi saying, since they didn't sin in the ego, they don't deserve to die in the Midbar? This is a kasha which is asked by the Mefarshim on Rashi. I saw a beautiful shot with wide-reaching implications in the Divrei Yoel on Parshas Bamidbar, page Peches. He says, Gevaldik. He says that the reason the Levim were counted separately was that they should remain a separate group within Klal Yisrael. If they're counted separately, we understand that there's a certain level of separation between them and Klal Yisrael. The purpose of this was because, as we say in Pirkei Avos, Hachek Mishachin Ra, Vatashaber LaRasha. A person should not connect to Risha. Since the Levim were arm's length from other Jews, when the Chet HaMeraglim was to come, they would be saved. So because they didn't sin in the ego, as Rashi says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, let me give them a bit of separation from the rest of Klal Yisrael. And in that way, they will not fall into the Chet HaMeraglim. They will not be convinced by others, by friends, to fall into the sin of the Meraglim. A beautiful thought, and it explains why later we will find in Sefer Yeshua that Shevet Yehuda stayed to itself. It was separate already many, many years, 500 years before the Ten Shvatim and the Two Shvatim split into a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom with the Ten Shvatim going to Golos. Why? We talk about Achdus Yisrael. Shouldn't they all be together? The answer is that even within the Achdus Yisrael and the Ahavas Yisrael, a person has to be smart enough, wise enough to know that when it comes to close friendship, which you have only with certain people, you're smart enough to choose and know who is going to drag you down and who's going to help you rise. A very important lesson as well. For my third thought of today, I'd like to talk to you about something that's very much on my mind. That's Tyra, just to share with you a thought. This Sunday, there was a Sifa, as you know, the so-called Internet Asifa in Citi Field. The Asifa was an awesome maimid, an awesome gathering. It also had a rather disappointing program. Two things, an awesome maimid and a disappointing program. What did each individual walk away with? I have found that the B'nai Torah, the Lakewood crowd, walked away with an awesome gathering. They walked away uplifted. They walked away with an understanding that you need filters, you need good filters. And I think it's fair to say, from the little anecdotal information I have, that the overwhelming majority of homes in Lakewood that have the internet, overwhelming majority, majority have felt it. It seems to me, to my great pain and sorrow, that in Flatbush, people walked away talking only about the dismal program, the disappointments with the program, the fact that the English that was promised was not delivered, practical aids that were promised were not delivered, or whatever other complaints there are. Is that what we should focus on? Is it? People in our neighborhood are often fond of complaining that Hasidim are naive, they don't know the ways of the world. I have to tell you, when it comes to the internet, it's the Flatbush crowd that is naive, that is foolish. Their children, their 10, 11, 12, and 13-year-olds, are on the internet seeing things. Even though they go to Dinyan on time, even though they get Aleph in Yeshiva, right now all is fine, and there's no suspicion. But they're there. I know they're there. It's been a troubling week for me. Since that Asifa, I've been getting phone calls, some of them from 12-year-olds, about people that are on the internet. It's very hard. They're telling me to do something about it, but don't say I called. It's awful. I'm shocked. The overwhelming majority of houses in Flatbush have no filter at all. Can you imagine how naive people are to think that their children are now watching things they shouldn't watch on the internet? It's a silliness, it's a foolishness, and it's something that we have to change, at least those of you who are listening here today. Don't be foolish. You're best off getting a JNet type of server. And even if you get that server, you do need a filter. Because if someone plugs something into the USB port and gets Wi-Fi, then it will not go through the JNet server. If you have a filter, it'll still work. The K9 filter is free. You can download it. It just takes a little bit of time. There are choices that have to be made. Maybe you need advice on how to do it. Don't be a fool. Don't be a nar. It's the Yetzer Hara. That's a normal Yetzer Hara that people have. And what are we doing? Putting it on the table for ourselves, for our children? How foolish are we? How narish are we? Everybody else is wrong except that individual in the street in Flatbush. If he had run the program, it had been great. Or the other one, he knew exactly what should be. I don't argue with disappointment in the program. I do argue with what you come away with. Every week I end with a question. I want to end with a question I have today. It's a question I'd like you to reflect upon. A son-in-law called me. His father was a mispalel. He himself is in a kibbutz, not in Brooklyn. He was here for Shabbos a few weeks ago. On Matzoi Shabbos, he went on his in-law's computer to take care of whatever personal things he had to do. Accidentally, he discovered that his father-in-law is going to sites that are pornographic. He discovered it. He went to the history and found that his father-in-law is visiting pornographic sites. He calls me. What to do? Now, of course, I could talk to the father-in-law, but the son-in-law says, don't tell him I spoke to you. What do I do? Well, I could get up the Shabbos in front of the crowd, including this person, and say, someone's son-in-law called me that the father-in-law is watching pornography. It's on the history, and he knows it. I beg you, do something about it. I could say that. Am I being mevayish, this person, the rabbi? I have a feeling that not only one person will blush. I have a feeling that three or four might blush. Am I make machlaikis? What do I do? I don't know. I only hope that that particular father-in-law reads the printed version of this year or is listening to it live. Wake up. Don't be fools. Don't be naive. It takes very little for a child to get on the internet. I know filters are not perfect. A child who's at risk, a teenager, will get around it. But save the simple children, the simple 10, 11, 12, 13, 14-year-olds. You put a filter, they won't go around it. They fall into the pornography. It's not something they're eagerly going for. But after they do it for a little bit of time, it becomes regular. Be smart. Be mekabel the Torah. Be mekabel the advice of Gedolei Yisrael, no matter how you think they're naive. You're naive. Be mekabel their advice. Take the filter. Don't listen to people who say, say that even with a filter, bang, 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 it's true. You need more than a filter. But start with that. It causes me a lot of pain. It causes me a lot of tsar. I hope that these few words will somehow help the situation. Now with that, I want to wish everybody a gewaldig Shabbos, a Simchas Yontif, a Kabbalah Satira, and hopefully we should continue to grow, to move upwards in our Avodas Hashem.